Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Bill sent me a note about a funny court ruling out of Germany. And I've mentioned before the Germans and their sense of humor. I've joked about that. But of course, Finns aren't known for being very humorous people either, so you understand. But a German court has ruled that hangovers are an illness. And you might say, wait, why would a court rule on such a thing, you know? And it's an interesting story, but once in a while, a weird case forces a court to rule on something unusual. And so this is coming out of Germany, so this will have no precedential impact on your life. But it might give you some, I don't know, moral support on a bad Sunday morning when you wake up after having a fun Saturday night. So a Frankfurt court has made a ruling in relation to illegal claims by a company selling an anti-hangover shot. So here we go. This is from The Guardian. The judges noted that doctors have long used the specialist medical term Visalgia to describe hangovers. And a German court thus has ruled that hangovers are an illness in a timely judgment just days after the annual Oktoberfest beer festival began in Munich. So typical German efficiency. They've got Oktoberfest going in September. But this case landed before judges in Frankfurt because plaintiffs claimed that a firm was offering anti-hangover shots and drink powders to mix with water, and they were making illegal health claims. And it often happens when somebody makes an illegal health claim, they'll come into court and defend it and go, either what we're selling is not medicine in that sense, or what we're treating is not a disease. And so their argument here apparently was, well, a hangover is not an illness or a disease, so we have a quote-unquote cure for it. It's a fix. It's a remedy, but it's not a cure in the medical sense. Judges didn't buy it. Information about a food product cannot ascribe any properties for preventing, treating, or healing a human illness, or give the impression of such a property. This is from the sober ruling from the Superior Regional Court on Monday. That's The Guardian's term for it. By an illness, one should understand even small or temporary disruptions to the normal state or normal activity of the body, including tiredness, nausea, headaches, any of the things that the company claimed this product would fix. Those are all forms of illness. So the doctors, as the court pointed out, have long used the word Visalgia as a specialist medical term for the morning after the night before. Okay, that's a little over the top. But a hangover has actually been given a term, and it's actually not that old of a term. I looked it up because I'm fascinated by words. And Visalgia apparently was coined around the year 2000, at least in terms of being in a medical journal, at least according to the sources I glanced at before doing this video. And it comes from two words, one of which is Norwegian. The first half of the word apparently is inspired by the phrase in Norwegian, which means uneasiness after debauchery, or I'm guessing something to do with a hangover, I hope. And then Elgia, which of course is A-L-G-I-A and is often tacked onto the end of something to indicate pain and suffering from the preceding portion of the word. So the pain you suffer after a night of debauchery, or after debauchery, would be Visalgia, according to the paper that described this term, and it's been used ever since and accepted in the medical field. So in February, scientists in Germany and Britain found that drink order has no effect on the magnitude of one's hangover, just as a related note. And researchers got 90 volunteers to drink beer and wine to find out once and for all whether hangovers are worsened by the order in which drinks are consumed. Because many people tell you that, you know, you can drink one or the other, but mixing them is not good. But when they did the 90 volunteer thing, about 1 in 10 vomited as a result. But the results, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, showed that the order the drinks were consumed and had no impact on hangover intensity. So, getting back to the original case, though, in Germany, there was a company selling, or a business selling, hangover shots. And these shots, they said, you drink this after you've had all your fun drinking, and this will prevent you from getting a hangover. Apparently, some people bought these, used them, it didn't work. Much like the carbolic smoke ball of days of yore. And instead of defending it by saying, yes, it did work, the company goes, it's not medicine. What you're talking about is not even an illness. So we got a, you know, an imaginary cure for an imaginary problem. And the court said, no, you know, you can't do that. You can't tell consumers you're selling them a product that fixes something if it doesn't fix that thing. And they're saying the jurisdiction does lie with the courts because the courts have the right to oversee promises made about goods, for instance, that are sold to consumers. And I don't understand German law, but I suspect that it's rooted much in the way that the consumer protection laws in the Western cultures of England and the United States are likewise rooted. And that is the idea that courts can enforce the promises made by sellers when they make promises in conjunction with the sale of goods in an attempt to induce the buyers of the goods to buy the goods. So you make a promise, keep it. And so if you're making a promise such as this drink here will keep you from getting a hangover, then perhaps it better do that, or you might not be in the best position to be making those sales with those promises attached thereto. So it's fascinating. If you watch commercials on television, everything from energy drinks to vitamins to supplements of this sort, and you'll often see them saying things that sound a lot like promises regarding what these things will do. And then, of course, you read the fine print, it all gets taken away. And so, you know, that's how they cover themselves in America. I can tell you that America and I believe New Zealand are pretty much the only two countries in the Western world that allow advertising of pharmaceuticals on television. So many people who come to America are kind of entertained when they see all these ads for pharmaceuticals, illnesses that we didn't know we had. But, you know, there are rules, of course, that the FDA promulgates for those as well. So it's another story altogether. But simply put, because of this unusual case, someone selling a product in Germany that claims to cure hangovers, somebody said it didn't cure hangovers. And their defense was, well, it's not supposed to. It's not really, there's no such thing as a hangover. I mean, we know what it is, but it's not something you can cure. And the court says, no, technically it's an illness. And technically, as an illness, it's something that you shouldn't claim you can cure unless you actually can. So the efficient German courts stepping in and taking care of that one. And if you see unusual stories like this in the news, please send them my way. I love reading these. Bill sent this along to me, said, I assume you've seen this. No, I hadn't. Only got one copy of that one. Some of these stories, I get dozens of copies. And by the way, a while back, I had several people ask me about the Moose Jaw bumper sticker, which is right here. Moose Jaw, I believe, is a place in Canada. And so is Medicine Hat, by the way. I spoke to a guy from Medicine Hat yesterday on the phone. And you'll notice the shirt I'm wearing today says Moose Jaw. And it's not the place that these things commemorate. It's just a store in Michigan that sells outfitter-type stuff. Not sponsors. I just like their stores. I've shopped there for a long time, and I saw they had a cool shirt, so I bought it. And they said, hey, you want a bumper sticker? I said, sure. Didn't stick it on the car, stuck it on the shelf. So there you go. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.